Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young to be sitting on a ditch. Too young to be under the bridge. You're too young.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love, author of the popular book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the sexy romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, available at Amazon, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today I'm speaking to a man with a powerful message that women will enjoy hearing and will be an eye-opener and new perspective for many men about what it means to be a sexual man and how to please your partner. It began in September of 2011 when Michael Russer was diagnosed with prostate cancer, received a radical prostatectomy, intensive radiation therapy, and the subsequent complete impotence. Unlike the typical response, Michael and his partner discovered a new approach to experiencing emotional and physical intimacy beyond what either had known before. Prior to this life-changing event, Michael was a highly regarded international speaker and author about technology. As a matter of fact, he just told me the name was Mr. Internet. He wants to share his story and recovery to help men and women find the joy that he has found. And you can find out more at hardlybroken.com. So I would love to welcome Michael to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So as I said before, I really I'm impressed with how brave you are to put this out to the world. And you came from marketing and being an international speaker. So how did all of this come about? Tell us about your background, your training and experience, and then what led to writing this book and talking about it so openly.
Well, my background, I guess the easiest way to describe me is that of a serial entrepreneur, and I've always had a high degree of energy and a tremendous sense of wonder for the world of what could be, and then aggressively moving towards making that happen. And so my last career was that of an international speaker and author about technology, primarily the internet. And it was exciting. I got paid very, very well for it, and which helped put my kids through private schools all the way up through university. And yet at the same time, and this is germane to the overall discussion, at the same time, as rewarding in many ways that it was, it was not totally fulfilling at the heart level. And as gregarious and high energy as I was throughout my career, there was still a part of me that was pretty shut down. In fact, that was I was involved in a just over two years ago, I ended a 26-year marriage. It was unfortunately the typical baby boomer marriage. We started out as, you know, soulmates and ended up as roommates. In the last 11 years of that, were celibate. I was remained totally faithful to my wife and vice versa, and we decided to stay together until our youngest son went off to college. But the reason I really pulled the trigger on that and actually walked away from my career as well is because I was effectively dying slowly inside. In fact, if you saw a picture of me just over 2 years ago and then and look at me now, you'd think you'd be looking at my father. I mean, you could see that I was literally dying inside. And so I decided to jump forward into the abyss, so to speak, not knowing what was next. I left the marriage. I also knew in leaving the marriage, I would lose probably all the friends associated with the marriage, and that indeed did happen. I decided to walk away from my career, a very successful, lucrative career, because I wanted to explore and literally be in a space of being living fully, fully heart open, which means vulnerable, means feeling everything, things that don't feel good, as well as the things that feel ecstatic, but at least you feel. And so I drew that line in the sand, Dr. Erica, and that was September of 2011. And then I crossed over that line, and I made a commitment to myself that I would never, ever, ever go back. And I really didn't know what was next for me. Now, as fate would have it, 2 months after that decision, that choice, I'm diagnosed with prostate cancer. And in my family, cancer of any kind means you're going to die.
Many of us grew up with that belief about cancer.
Well, no, this is pretty much true. I mean, 5 out of 5 other members of my family, immediate family, have died from cancer.
Wow.
No one made it. And so I'm number 6. So that's that's like, okay, this is serious. And my PSA levels were starting to rise aggressively. And they did a biopsy in November 2011. And they said, good news, it doesn't look too aggressive. You may have months to think about this and how you want to treat it. And I said, no, take it out now. And that kind of surprised them because a lot of people don't make that kind of decision so quickly.
Yeah.
My intuition told me this is not something to be trifled with. So they moved things around. They actually were able to perform the surgery shortly after that, December of 2011. And when they did the tissue studies, my intuition proved, true in the sense that it was highly aggressive. It was showing signs of beginning onset of metastasizing. And if I hadn't had that surgery, I probably wouldn't be on the planet right now. And as brilliant of a job as they did with the surgery, it turns out there was more there, so they had to put me through 7 weeks of intensive radiation, and that still wasn't enough. My PSA is still above 0, which means there are cancer cells still in my body. Mm-hmm. However, I'm on a lifestyle regime in terms of what I eat, what I drink, and some Chinese medicinal herbs that have now put it under pretty good control. So I'm not too worried about that. Actually, the way I look at my cancer.
At this point, you're not feeding the cancer.
Exactly. And I have a big sweet tooth, and I found out later that sugar is uptaken by cancer cells 18 times as much as regular cells. So I need to get off of sugar pretty much completely and anything that converts easily to sugar, which includes the starchy foods. So I'm pretty high protein, low carb, and high fats don't bother me. They're fine. But other than that, I'm in extremely good shape. I just turned 62, and I'm actually stronger than I was in my 20s. So I have much to be grateful for. And here's the other thing: is I look at, I could do without the cancer, but now that I have it, I look upon it as a sort of a gift, and I don't mean that in any kind of cliche. and all due respect to everybody who has cancer of any kind. And the reason I call it a gift is because it reminds me almost every moment throughout the day that every moment is precious. Every moment is precious. There is no someday I'll get to it, someday. It's right now. And
that's
so that,
absolutely
that
true.
Focus on the now was a huge gift for me, huge, because that's part of being heart open, is being present, feeling everything. And so in that respect,
you also
it was a
said
gift.
Something I'd like to ask you about, because not only is it a gift in terms of the way you're speaking about cancer, but you even said that ED or erectile dysfunction is the best thing that happened to you in your intimate life. So I'd love you to explain
right.
that.
Yeah, well, as a result of all those treatments, a common side effect is impotence, erectile dysfunction. Mine is complete. The pills do not work. And so I went through the four stages of loss all over again, you know, first time because of the cancer, and then the second time, which was actually even more troublesome, as it is for many men. Many men actually are much more concerned about the effects of prostate cancer treatment than the cancer itself, which says something about our culture today. We'll get to that in a minute. So I went through my four stages of loss. First was disbelief, like, oh, you got to be kidding me. After 11 years of staying faithful in a celibate marriage, then finally being able to be legally and morally able to establish a new relationship, I'm now impotent. You know, am I ever going to feel that again? And so I was disbelieved, and I got angry about it, that second stage. And then the third stage is either depression or negotiation. By nature, I'm not much of a depressive person, so I started negotiating. And, oh, maybe I could do this, maybe I could do that. Unfortunately, though, this is where most men get stuck, and it's usually in depression. They feel broken. They feel they don't feel like men anymore, and they feel pretty much their lives are over. And for any of the men or the women who are with men that are affected by this, let me just make something crystal clear. That position is a choice. There is nothing written anywhere that says that is true. That is simply a choice. And the men that make that choice, which are many men, feel shame. They feel like they're not even part of the male species anymore. And that's so unfortunate. I can honestly say I feel absolutely zero shame. I have no problem talking about this at all. In fact, I consider myself pretty much the voice of this, the voice of something that really needs to be talked about, because what happens is men and even their significant others tend to shut down around it. If it's hush-hush, it's not to be spoken of. And I say, BS, that is precisely the opposite of what should be done. You first start with a conversation. So I finally got to the point of acceptance, and that was crucial, because once you get to the point of acceptance of something that just is, you're no longer fighting it. And by no longer fighting it, it opened up a gateway to possibilities that, frankly, neither I nor my partner could have ever possibly dreamed. In fact, when we share the details and experience of our intimate life with normally functioning couples, typically their jaws drop and often say, I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know you could experience that. And I'm talking about being normally functioning. And so the reason it's a gift, it's been a gift for me and my partner, who I subsequently met about a year after pulling the trigger on my marriage, is that it allowed me as a man to slow down. Because since I can't get hard, I don't have that overwhelming urge that comes over so many men. It's wired into us that when we're hard, we want to use it now. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's awesome for making babies, and it can be extraordinarily pleasurable for both parties. But it is not necessarily, intercourse is not necessarily conducive to deep connecting emotional and physical intimacy. especially with respect to women. Women's sexual response profile is markedly different and takes much longer than men. Men can look at an attractive woman, be ready in like 2 seconds flat. Most women just don't operate that way. And so what the ED did for me is it allowed me to be fully present for my partner, focus on her, because I didn't have that overwhelming urge. Now, it doesn't mean I didn't have libido. I have a very strong libido. But there's a distinction between libido and that urge that comes with a hard-on. And so I was able to slow down and match her sexual response profile. And the result is that when she and I make love, we make love 2 to 4 hours at a time. She will typically climax between 5 and 7, occasionally 9 times, each time. And I have an experience that far exceeds anything I've ever had when I was functioning properly. Now, I also need to qualify this in that my partner is fully postmenopausal and had a lot of discomfort during intercourse before she met me. And in general, even when she didn't have that discomfort, didn't find it entirely satisfying, as many women don't. So this is one of the many reasons why it's such a gift for me and her.
Yeah, but you talked about normal functioning men may not be able to experience this. So maybe explain a little bit more. I mean, I'm sure some men can function normally and also spend time to please the woman.
Absolutely. No, I think normally functioning men are absolutely capable of this. It's just that they have to find a way to suppress that urge that comes over them, and I have some ways that help them with that because I talked to men about this. But first, absolutely they can. And, you know, and for the men listening, I just want to, first of all, acknowledge you. If you're fully functioning, I want to acknowledge you that you're able to do things I will never be able to do again. And I acknowledge and respect you for that. And you are capable of doing and experiencing everything that I'm talking about here. It's just a function of really, short-circuiting how men and women are culturally and biologically wired. And the way you do that is consciously. You become conscious of the fact that women have a very different response profile. And that means if you want to be able to have your partner experience the highest levels of physical and emotional connection during the lovemaking process, means you need to really slow down. And men who are fully functioning certainly can do that, absolutely. It just becomes a little more difficult because of that overwhelming urge that happens when a man becomes erect. It's a very powerful, powerful urge. And to illustrate what I mean, after my partner and I started experiencing this on a regular basis, I said to her, would you like to know what it's like to have intercourse with me? She said, of course, because I had not had intercourse in 12 years because of celibacy in my marriage. So I went to my surgeon and I said, is there anything we can do so I can at least experience this? And he said, yeah, there's just one thing you could probably do that would almost certainly work. And it's an injection directly into the penis. It's called Cervajec. It's a very powerful drug. And the first time we used it, I was erect for 3 hours, a very hard, hard erection for 3 hours. And with that, my partner and I had traditional and very beautiful intercourse. But this is where it gets interesting, Dr. Erica. Afterwards, we looked at each other, and we instantly knew, without saying a word, that that experience didn't even begin to compare to what we had and continue to have to this day. and how we normally make love. So since then, I have never bothered with it again. So yes, men who function normally, certainly, this is, in fact, I teach men how to do this. But it's without being conscious about the differences between men and women, and learning how to remove the word performance from the bedroom and replace it with presence, then it becomes very difficult.
Oh, that is powerful, because so many men talk to me about performance, and they're thinking that way. And the partner,
right,
a lot of times, is expecting the man to perform. So she doesn't do
right.
very much. She's just there, and he is aggressive and performing. But a lot of times, the man doesn't feel so good about that. I see these couples where there's a problem. The woman is not initiating at all. She's like shut down and just waiting for him to
yeah.
perform, and he has trouble performing
right.
after a while. And so that's the dynamic I see a lot.
Yes, that's that. Many women, I find, and this is where it's incumbent upon women, in my opinion, they really need to step up and be very candid with their partner as to what works for them. And many women are afraid to do that, out of fear that they might hurt the man's feelings, or they might inadvertently emasculate them.
But it isn't as simple as that. A lot of women don't really know what they want, because what they want is not always exactly in the moment. It's also what happens outside the bedroom, the words that are said, the little
yes.
sweet comments, or the looks at other women and the comments about other women that make them feel inadequate. There's a lot going on
yes.
besides what happens
well,
in that moment in the bedroom.
Well, you bring up a very good point. You bring up an extremely good point, because one of the things I teach is that I don't care how great the sex is, whether you're functioning or not, in the beginning, it's going to wane if you do not have a strong, deep foundation of connecting emotional intimacy. Emotional intimacy is the foundation. It's the bedrock of any other kind of intimacy. And when you have that, then the other can easily be handled, relatively easily be handled, because then you're willing to be vulnerable with each other. And this is where women can then say, you know, sweetie, I just absolutely adore you. And I love when we're together, when we're together just holding hands, or, you know, walking in the park or in the bedroom. Yet, you know, would you be open to exploring even some other ways of taking that experience and bringing it up a notch? Would you be willing to explore that with me? I think if women, again, this presumes that they have a strong sense of emotional intimacy between the partners, that if they take that approach, first of all, men will perk up. They're going to go, well, yeah, of course. Because it's positioned in a way that doesn't challenge their manhood, that doesn't challenge their sense of who they are as a lover. What it's saying is, hey, it's great now, but let's explore some possibilities that we never thought of before. And most men are open to that, believe it or not. And one thing I know as a man, and I think this is fairly universal in males, is that nothing, absolutely nothing is more important to us than knowing that we can please our woman like no other. But in order for us to do that, we need to be coached by you women. And that's exactly what my partner did for me. She coached me. And the results are extraordinary. So it really is incumbent on both. But if there is not a strong sense of emotional intimacy, and that's why I focus on making sure that the partners have that emotional intimacy first before I even talk about physical intimacy, because otherwise it's just not going to happen.
Can you explain what you mean by emotional intimacy?
Yeah, emotional intimacy, first of all, the word intimacy, I equate the word intimacy with connection, all right? So emotional intimacy is a heart connection. Physical intimacy is a physical, deep physical connection. And it's much more of a interplay of giving to each other than figuring out how you're going to receive. So examples of emotional intimacy are some of the things that you just talked about, you know, the holding of the hands, the just saying sweet things, doing things for each other without asking, really holding each other in each other's heart. Having that warm feeling there. And there's some, you know, in our highly distracted and disconnected world, we sometimes forget to do that, especially for couples that are raising children. All too often, the children become the focus. And then the very reason for the children, the relationship that started it all, ends up becoming, well, less and less, becomes highly disconnected. So I've also seen
something else, that sometimes people marry a person that they think is going to be a good mother or a good father, but they don't have that initial special feeling and attraction and love for that person.
Right. I'll be honest with you.
Like a business arrangement.
Well, I wouldn't say it would be, in my case, was a business relationship. I knew that when I asked my wife, my ex-wife to marry me, I knew she probably wasn't the one. I was 32 at the time, never been married before, and I knew she would be an incredible mother, which she has been, and a wonderful, great friend, which she was and continues to be. But I also knew that somewhere deep down inside, she was not really the one for me. And so it takes a great deal of intention to be clear about, you know, who is it that you're looking for. And interestingly enough, shortly after pulling the trigger, 26 months ago or 28 months ago, I sat down and wrote a 13-page document that I called my Dream Woman Project. And I described every aspect in extreme detail, and I'm talking about personality, I'm talking about interest, I'm talking about values, I'm talking about all these things. And then I put it away. Well, that was over 2 years ago. That was what, 28 months ago. I now use that document as an example for singles on how to create intention to find the right person. And so it's interesting because I reviewed it not too long ago for the first time in over a year. And I'm looking at this document, I'm looking at all the things I described, and it turns out that my life mate, the wonderful woman that I met about 15 months ago, literally hits every single mark. And when we met, wasn't even thinking about that. I wasn't even particularly looking at that time when we met. But it's that power of intention.
What you're talking about is that power of intention. That's why we're goal setting, you know, you write it down and then it's very clear and it's out of your head and you don't have to think about it.
The universe really does take over. Yeah, the universe really does take over. And so I was astounded, and I showed it to her because I had never shown it to her before. And I said, this is just like a month ago. I said, sweetie, take a look at this. You fit every single checkbox. And I said, never in my life would I have thought that I'd find somebody that would meet all these checkboxes. So it's really powerful. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons people end up in relationships that in some cases probably shouldn't be in the relationship. But
there is also a little more to that. Sometimes you're at an earlier phase in your life and you're not as clear about what you really want for the long term, you know, and you had a career ahead of you. So there's a purpose for what you do at that point, and all of that leads to understanding for the future.
I have no regrets, none. We have two incredible adult children that I couldn't be more proud of. I still care very, very deeply and love my ex-wife, but just not as a mate. And it was a very important and powerful part of my life. I just turned 62. I feel like I'm 18, well, irresponsibly 18, and I have more energy than I've ever had before. I feel that not only have I gotten a second lease on life, I feel that literally, and I'm not saying this with any kind of flippancy or trying to create a cliche here, that I am truly living the best part of my life right now.
That is beautiful. So I would like you to end with two things. One is a statement or something that you can leave for our listeners about love and intimacy. And the other is how to get in touch with you, your website or some information.
Yeah, the real secret to enjoying and experiencing and finding deep connecting love and intimacy at all levels. I'm talking about the emotional level, the physical level as well as the spiritual level, is really learning to become heart open, meaning take away the armor, be fully present in the now, experience everything, feel everything. And that means the good stuff and the stuff that doesn't feel so good, because that's what life's about. Our problem today in society, in my opinion, is that we have distracted ourselves to oblivion, and we do everything in our power not to feel. Well, unfortunately, in that state, you're not going to have deep connecting emotional or physical or even spiritual intimacy with anybody. It's just not going to happen. So learn to become fully present and heart open. And a good resource for that is a book called The Presence Process by Michael Brown. It's extremely powerful, The Presence Process by Michael Brown. And in terms of contacting me, the best way to reach me would be on my upcoming book site, Hardly Broken, hardlybroken.com. And this is where listeners can register for 52 weeks of free intimacy tips, starting with how to build emotional intimacy, of course, and then leading into levels of such extraordinary physical intimacy that they, at this point, they probably would hold those possibilities in great disbelief. It's that powerful.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for a wonderful discussion, and I look forward to seeing your book. And when is it going to be coming out?
It should be coming out towards the end of 2014.
Okay, wonderful. But in the meantime, people can get your tips and start thinking
yes,
in that direction.
They can go to the Hardly Broken site, and they will start receiving essentially the benefit of the book for free.
Well, thank you so much for this wonderful discussion. And I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. And I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.